Unsolicited Advice miniseries by Ethan Blakewell. Unsolicited Advice for Corporate Newbie. How to Avoid Corporate BS and Get Ahead. 25 Years of Corporate Experience in Under 30 Minutes. Chapter 1. New Job. Congratulations. You have successfully landed a new corporate job. It might be your first or your N+1 job. It does not matter. It is a new job. New people, new environment, new boss. Your first day is tomorrow. What are you going to do? Will you survive the first 90 days? You are nervous. Checking books online. Yippee! There is a book on exactly that topic. You download the ebook and start reading. It sure has a lot of information. How do you research the company, your team, your peers' teams, your boss? How to interview everyone, like people like interviewing. What does your boss want? It is a thick book and there is no TLDR. No, you decide. This is not for me. Too much work. No one does it. Your goal, after all, is not just survive the first 90 days. Your goal is to learn how to move through corporate world with ease, how to get more money, promotions, and even maybe enjoy it somewhat. From your conversations with friends or family, you know that there are others who do get ahead with ease, or seem to coast effortlessly through the long corporate careers, get promoted, and survive layoffs. What do they know that you don't? Did they read the same book? Well, not exactly. They did not follow the plan. They did not read the books on corporate success. Instead, they have a know-how, or more precisely, they feel their way through. Now, what if you had such knowledge or at least some clear direction on what to do? Wouldn't it make your life so much simpler? If all you want is to get to work, do your personal best, get paid and not get fired, and maybe once in a while get promoted, or more often if you like, then this book is for you. Just a quick note before we begin. This book is not for people who are looking to make a stellar career or become a winner super performer. There are plenty of other books and courses to help you with that. This book is different. It explores the hidden secrets of human behavior inside a corporation, which you can learn or copy and then learn to navigate the tricky corporate waters and get along with people. Because it is people who you work with, not a faceless corporation or a corporate policy. People make decisions on who they promote or who they fire. It is people who tell a gossip or vote for a piece of the bonus pie. You need the insider information on how all these decisions are made and what is the secret to working an hour a day to get paid for 8. You see, long time ago, I was in your shoes. I started working first for a retailer as a floor manager, then switched to managing a small team at a local internet service provider, and then, after joining the proper corporate world, proceeded to accumulate a solid few decades of corporate experience. I left my last job with Fortune 500 company as a senior executive, and I never read the book on corporate success, nor I read any books on how to become a linchpin or how to make a career or any of this crap. Somehow it all worked out for me all the time. Even when I went through uncontrollable situations like divestitures, outsourcing, and like, it still worked out in the end. Even when I changed professional fields 3 times to be exact. At every new job, I got comfortable pretty fast and, to my bewilderment, quickly got promoted or got a significant pay rise. Many times I would be picked ahead of the people who had decades on me at the same place or a team. Oh, and by the way, I am an introvert. Now, at this point in my life, I decided to figure out what exactly did I do to achieve such a feat. I want to genuinely help others to learn what I did, and if it helps you on your new job tomorrow, I will be happy. So without further ado, let's dive into it and figure out together how you can do the same. Chapter 2, Ground Rules. They say it is not what you know, but who. This is correct to a point in my experience. You still need to at least appear to be knowledgeable in your area of expertise, but you do not need to build strong relationships with big bosses and such. They just need to be aware of your existence. The job of promoting you for, well, promotion or a bonus is not yours. But we are getting ahead a bit. Let's start from the very beginning. Your first day or week or a month. This is your best chance at a clean slate. So few ground rules are in order. Do not create enemies. This cannot be overstated. You want to appear that you get along with everyone. You want to be what they call even-keeled person. In time, you will build stronger relationships with some people and less so with others. But you do not want to alienate people or, worse, create adversaries. People do very silly things out of spite, so keep it professional even if you cannot stand some of them. Do not gossip, ever. You do not know who has whose ear. People are getting a kick out of gossiping. It releases endorphins, makes them feel good about themselves. But corporate is not your family. Your colleagues are not your friends. They are your coworkers, that's it. So treat them as such. Besides, it is just a plain bad taste. Some people can hold grudges for a very, very long time. And this missed promotion or a skinny bonus sometime later? That may be a result of someone learning about you gossiping. Do not get emotional. I get it. We are all humans. And this advice is probably one of the hardest. It took me a long time to master, if ever. But in retrospect, it is probably the one which saves you the most trouble, in both professional and personal lives. When we get emotional, we do not think clear. We say things we regret saying, and they hurt our progress or sometimes even reverse it. On a personal side, getting emotional about your job is creating stress, which is bad for your health and for your relationships with significant others. Separate your work from your personal life. Make it a rule you do not break ever. You will be much more happier. Becoming emotional, or as often happens, angry with others can have unforeseen consequences in a corporate world. I have seen people yelling at a vendor, only to find out later that vendor's manager is close to his boss. Oops. Or that stupid tech support guy who seems so stubborn in his insistence to check things you already did. Or customer service gal who keeps giving you the same answer. Nope. Cannot yell on them either. You will get much further and get what you want and often more if you keep calm and empathetic with them. What if someone else is angry with you? The best way I've found is to, correct, keep calm, but to also lower your voice and respond professionally. Lowering your voice shows that you have self-control and not intimidated by your opponent. They have to, in turn, lower theirs to hear what you are saying. The effect is like a pail of cold water on their head. Do not offer your opinion right away on all topics which you may be thrown into in your first few days. Many new hires make a mistake of telling their peers how they did things at their last jobs or how to do things better. Even if it is so, bite your tongue. When time comes, you will use this information, but now you will only contribute into bad new impression. Instead, ask about how they do things around here. Express genuine appreciation of time and effort people put in to achieve what they did. Remember, you know exactly zilch about what obstacles they had or what hoops they had to get through to do what they did. It might be less cool or different from where you came from, and that's okay. Learn the environment first. Make sure people know that you value what they have been able to achieve. Your time will come. Not all advice is don'ts. Some are do's. In your first few days or weeks, learn the names of the people you work with. Your immediate team and your boss, of course, and your boss's boss. Person's name is the most important word they like to hear, so use it often. However it may be uncomfortable, participate in conversations from day one. Listen first, then speak. Note the details of people's personal lives, their likes and dislikes. When you get more time later, make a habit of reviewing the corporate org chart. Start with your department and branch from there. Learn the names of the bosses who make decisions. Talk to people you create faster rapport with and ask about other people or bosses. Just do not appear like you are there for a gossip, see above, or an interview, yikes. Make the conversation seem casual. People will be inclined to open up more as opposed to formal setting. Express genuine interest to learn about the people and others will deliver. Your goal is to eventually build in your head the pictures of who they are, how they like to work, do they make decisions, which ones. Again, we are here not to build relationships with all decision makers. We are here to first become aware who they are and observe. Learning the most important names is useful early on when you will start getting all these emails in your brand new and shiny inbox and need to pay attention to who is saying what or who is on the to and CC. Ever heard the horror stories of someone hitting reply all with bosses on CC? I did see a fair share of them, often very hilarious, except to the person on the sending end. Also, don't be that guy who replies all to say, stop replying all. Read it and delete it if you get one. Move on, no comment. Everyone makes mistakes. Do not worry about getting all of it at once. The trick here is not to remember everything day one, but rather making it a habit of learning things that matter regularly. Knowing these names is not only useful when you listen to conversations or reading emails, but you can also use them strategically when talking to someone. Just do not do name dropping. This is bad. Chapter 3, Your Boss. How to manage your boss. That's right, you are going to manage up. Here is a story from personal experience. In several performance reviews I had, there was a comment in one form or another stating that I am not fazed by the authority. First time I saw it, it made me think a little. Was it good comment or not so much? Now reflecting on many years of being a manager myself as well as having one, I would say it points to a trait of being respectful to your supervisor, but at the same time, recognizing that all of them, including the CEO of the company and King Charles, are also humans. Exact same as you are. This deep recognition allows you to act with self-respect and confidence. It might seem trivial, but I have seen numerous examples where people just melt before authority, which to me always seemed inexplicably dumb. Act as if your boss or your boss's boss are just your fellow citizens, which they are, but recognize their authority over making decisions they are there to make. If they are wrong, you can always express your opinion on the subject in a respectful way without explicitly telling them that they are wrong. I have seen otherwise brilliant people starting the comment with the words, "That's incorrect." They did not last long. In a corporation, everyone is on their own. Yes, if you are a good manager, you will advocate for your team and every individual you have under your command. Besides common decency, if you do not protect your people and worse, badmouth them, it is a direct reflection on yourself. This means you failed. Now, for your boss, you are part of his or her team, and your job is to make your boss look good. Not yourself among your peers, but your boss among his. This is seldomly recognized, by the way. Too many people are busy making them look good and others bad before their boss. And you know what? Your boss does not care. All she cares about is how she looks before her manager. I invite you to think this through, as this is important. This is not an invitation to suck up to your boss. Far from it. If you spend any significant time within a large corporation, you for sure noticed when new execs come in, they eventually bring over their old team, replacing people on key positions in their new departments. This is because their team is a vetted and trusted machine, which propelled them to where they are now. No one wants to start their advanced careers from scratch, so take this clue and recognize that you must become part of your boss's team, which helps her advance. More often than not, your boss will appreciate it and will share her success with you in the form of promotions, bonuses, or even a new job. Just a word of warning, do not get too close to your boss either. They may seem super friendly and seem to care, but if it is time for you to go, they will fire you without extra thought. As they say, nothing personal, just business. So do not take it personally if you ever on the receiving end. If you are the one doing the firing, same advice applies. I had to let go too many people than I liked to, in many cases against my will. However, I kept good relationship with pretty much all of them afterwards. For some, I even helped to find new jobs or provided stellar references. You never know, sometimes you need help and someone you let go earlier may be able to help you. Or even be your new boss. Life is strange. To increase your chances of staying, however, remain useful. Learn to read below the lines. That urgent task, however menial, your boss just phoned you about is important. Your own priorities come second now. I had thousands of inquiries coming seemingly out of the blue about our supported environment or completely unrelated to my scope of responsibilities. The likelihood is high that your boss's boss just asked him the question he has no answer to. This is where you come in. Answer enough of these, and better have the answer to most common ones memorized, and you are on the go to list. Same list, by the way, is for the bonuses. Chapter 4, Your Team. Your new team is where you will start making allies. Here I mean your peers, not your subordinates yet. If you are the only one reporting to your manager, then you would need to get acquainted with your peers from other teams which report to your manager's peers. You still need to do so anyway. Why this is important is because you will be spending most of your time with these people, and having good relationship is crucial for your image. You are starting working on what is known as a circle of influence. People talk, remember? As they get to know you, they will invariably mention your name in some of the work contexts, thus contributing to your image. You want to appear to be approachable and helpful. Even if you are not going to help in certain circumstances, you still need to maintain that image. The goal here is to start making deposits into your bank of favors. First, you do favors for others and not the other way around. You need to build a good credit, and believe me, you will be drawing on it all the time later, so keep adding to your balance. At your new job, you will be placed in charge of something, so you will have power over things that others do not and will want you to do things for them, even if it breaks the rules. Some people would refuse to help citing rules or policies, etc. But as you spend more time with the organization, you will see where these rules can bend and where you can do so to make favors for people, even if it is just letting them skip the line. You will absolutely need help in the future, and people will reciprocate accordingly. Just do not mention something like, "Hey, I helped you back then." People do remember, no need to remind them, just concentrate on building relationships. Relationships is what will ultimately sail you through the ranks and promotions. If you are remembered as friendly, easygoing, and able to help, you will go much farther. At the same time, seek to get introduced or take it upon yourself to the more senior people across the org. Good place to start is with your peers' bosses. Again, always show respect, but do not be intimidated. If situation allows, and in most cases it always is, insert some good words about your peers which report to that manager. Even, or especially, when the person you are talking about is not present, never, never badmouth anyone. Bosses love collecting feedback about their employees from other people. It helps a lot during performance reviews, makes their job so much easier. By helping others get better scores, you are working on your review as well. People will choose you as their 360-degree reviewer if they have good relationship with you. And that is a good thing. Provide lots of positive feedback and add something for them as a growth item, but without negative context. In time, it will become a second nature. Now you ask, what if I have direct reports? How you build your relationship with them? Well, this is not exactly a leadership course. There are plenty of those, but here are some of my thoughts based on experience. If you do have reports, that means that you will also be rated by your boss on your leadership skills. If your team succeeded in delivering results, you succeed as well. Even if you did nothing to assist, you succeeded by association. In most cases, you are involved, of course, and you must remember that your job as a leader is to remove obstacles so people can do their jobs. Also remember that your team, which reports to you, is always, always watching. They see how you walk into the room. They see how you react to things if you roll your eyes or you try to escape responsibility. They will note, and they will rate you in their heads accordingly. And not only in their heads, at the end of the year, employees in most companies are also able to rate their manager. Keep that in mind. When it is your turn to write self-review, the tone is usually all about your team. The team succeeded in this and that. That implies that you led them to a success. If you did something completely on your own, do mention it. But in my experience, most of your success is shared with your team, so please do show it and always give people credit. Do not show these accomplishments as only yours to claim. If anyone on your team failed, it is ultimately your fault. Do not ever yell on people or reprimand them. Find out what went wrong and go out of your way to help address the source of the failure. It is rare when you get really bad employees, but unfortunately, it does happen. In these cases, you must act decisively within company's HR guidelines, of course, and remove bad blood. You will know who that is, as people will always tell you. Building trusting relationships with your team allows for that vote of confidence. And removing these people quickly and not lingering tells a lot to your team and your boss as well. Eventually, you will get opportunities to hire others on your team, and this is where you can make sure you do a right choice. Getting along with the team and positive attitude is much more important than having all the skills you need. People will learn. No one ever comes with all the knowledge you are looking for. It just needs to be in a ballpark. I do hate sports analogies, though, but this one works. I have to also mention that if you are a hiring manager like I was back in the days, Writing a job description properly is crucial. You want a wider net and interview more people to see if they fit the team. Recruiters and HR have no clue what you're looking for and often will eliminate good people just because they miss a skill you listed as required. So keep that required section concise and general. People will never have exact same set of skill you need. You need to talk to them, judge their drive, adaptability, learning abilities, personality. Just have a conversation. Do not stump people with these standard interview questions. This is plain stupid. Let your trusted team members talk to them as well. Ask their opinion later if they feel the candidate will be a good fit for the team. You want someone to supplement your team, not to have a carbon copy of someone else or yourself. Common mistake is to look for someone like you. Don't. Speaking of people management, if you are also a boss, day one, find out who is your HR rep and work to build a relationship. It will help more than you know. Quick thoughts about corporate culture. In my experience, there is no such thing. And believe me when I say I've seen it all. Countless culture initiatives, which I ashamed to say sometimes was a part of. Countless changes, countless reminders, and company events. All pass by as water under the bridge. What exists instead is each team culture, each team accepted behavior. This you have to pay attention to. It does scale somewhat in department towers, but not by much. Company culture is just a bunch of rules put on paper by some execs and HR people to make them feel good. Rarely the large companies do what they say in their culture documents. It may be true for the mom and pop businesses, but large corporations are not a one cohesive thing. And be careful when they talk about being the part of the family. That never ends well. Honestly, sometimes I think the culture rules are there to make it easier to get rid of unwanted people by stating they are not a good fit for this company. Other than that, pay little or no attention to it. Concentrate instead on being useful to your peers and clients and building your circle of influence. This way, you will fit in the culture of normal human relationships. Chapter 5. Your job. If you ever change jobs after spending a few years in the old one, you do know how hard it is to go through the first few months. Everything seems complicated. You keep asking the same questions, can't remember routines or procedures. As time passes, you learn the ropes and most things become routine. You no longer need to spend much of your mental capacity to remember what is it you need to do. You coast. This is how you fail. Now, it is important to get to the point where you make many things a routine. Our brains are incapable of running on 100% attention to things all the time. You will be tired and exhausted every day if that would be the case. Watch your first few weeks, you will know what I mean. So do ask questions, do read manuals, do talk to people on the side as to learn the shortcuts and expectations. But once you are good and familiar with the core tasks of your job, you are ready to start the most important part, learning more. Continued education together with your circle of influence is what will ultimately make or break your success. First, you need to know why you're doing what you are doing. What is the result of your effort for each task, and who will consume this result and why? The above will help you to learn and rate the importance of each task, which in turn will help you prioritize. Once you know what your most important tasks are, take them apart mentally, or better on paper, to see which part is taking what time, and if it is actually needed or can be discarded or improved upon. Then put your procedure back together. This is also known as a lean processing. This way you start gaining efficiency and also gaining attention from your boss. It is not to say that you want more things to do. You should not actually advertise that you suddenly have more time on your hands. You can use this time to learn more about people, technology, organization, etc. But you should definitely mention in your performance review about improving things and achieving significant efficiency boost as a result. The processes under review are not just those you own, but also those your department owns. Start with smaller scope and expand, prioritize by impact. You will also invariably find that you, or your subordinates, lack some knowledge or skills to make changes. And this is where you will need to fill the gaps. Most companies now have free access to a ton of online education. Use it. You do not need to know everything and be an expert in everything, but you need to be good enough. If you have direct reports, you must be good enough to know if someone is blowing smoke in your face. And trust me, when you understand the general concepts of other areas of expertise and can support a conversation, mostly by asking proper questions, you will appear as authority anyway. No one is really an expert, by the way. Most people would have too many different responsibilities on their jobs to be expert in all of them. They may favor one or another and be more versed in it, but by no means be the expert. You just need to be willing to learn, and on your own time, to a point where you solve the task at hand effectively and good enough. If there is one trait which helps the most, outside of learning habit, it is the ability to troubleshoot things. Issues come up on a daily basis and they need resolutions. And fortunately, most of them have the same causes, patterns of which you can learn to recognize. Learn how to troubleshoot and you will be the expert. Now, if you are in the technical field, you would think of the technical issues to troubleshoot. Although the above advice can and should be applied there, the more important application should be to be able to troubleshoot, or better said, resolve the complex situations requiring people's skills and understanding of the business process. This is how you shine, and this is how you get ahead and grow your influence. Many issues arise either from conflict between the people, restrictions and rules or procedures, or technical limitations. When you talk to a vendor or other team member and they cannot do something for you, it pays to find out why. In most cases, it is not that they are not willing to assist. It usually is some sort of restriction from the list above, which prevents them from doing so. Find out what it is and concentrate on solving the challenge at hand without blaming people for it. Offer your help to help them to help you. Makes sense? I used to often joke after going through a difficult situation and resolving it that I did my 5 minutes of work for the day and can now relax. After all, this is what they pay me for. 5 minutes of genius a day. Funny as it is, it does not make it false. Although I am far from being a genius, I recognize now that by helping resolve complex situations, I help to save many hours of work for someone else. So why not to count those hours to be mine for the day? Steve Jobs was a true genius in a common sense of the word. But you know what most of his day was like? Same mundane tasks as yours. Meetings, calls, more meetings, paperwork. You may be able to do 99% of his job as good as he was, or better. But that 1% of his time was why he was known as one of the best out of all inventors, designers, and entrepreneurs ever lived. So think about that. Everyone has that one skill, one nick, they can do or develop, which, when applied to their jobs, can allow you to work only 5 minutes a day. Figuratively speaking, of course, it does not mean that you become unfireable linchpin. It means that others will let you be after you help them in some spectacular way. Chapter 6, Final Thoughts. Well, here we are at the end of this short book. What we discussed so far may seem obvious and common sense, but you would be surprised to find out that most people do not do it. Hence, most people do not get ahead in their careers or have a difficult time to adjust to their new work environments. I have seen countless employees deliberately or not creating enemies, not advancing their professional knowledge while having all the best opportunities available to them, freezing before their bosses, or becoming hermits in their own cubicles. Too bad for them and good for you. They are adults, and this is their choice, but not yours. You are now armed with the knowledge of how to navigate all this corporate nonsense and how to build your work life so it benefits you and not anyone else. Remember, if you will not take advantage of it, someone else will. So please heed the advice you learned here, and all the best in your career. I would love to hear how this book helped you adapt to your new team and new company. Please do not hesitate to drop me a line with your comments or suggestions for future titles at contact@ethanblakewell.com. Check out my website for more information, blog posts, and new releases, https://ethanblakewell.com. Thank you, and until next time, Ethan.